Everyone, hello, shalom. Okay, so we're going to say, obviously, to learn something about Pesach. Pesach is in 2 weeks. I don't want to get you all stressed out, but just 2 weeks.
So how many shomer will we have to provide for the two Pesach?
This one and another one, and that's it.
Next week.
Next week we'll have, but the following week we will not.
Okay. We have to think, help our wives. So.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Okay. So one of the things that definitely are mentioned many times during the Seder and during the redemption is the chipazon, the haste. And obviously the first understanding or the first perception of chipazon is that there was no time. But when you think about it, it's pretty childish. What do you mean there is no time? For example, with the matzot, just as a side note, you know, Hashem says to Moshe, tell the Jewish people already on the 10th, there is going to be Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach needs to be what? Al Matzot Mumerorim Yochlu. Which means it was pre-planned. So what do you want to tell me? That they did the Matzot because they didn't have time? They had 4 days to do it. Unless they are like the last minute people, you know, that they always do it like only at the last minute. That's something else. But I would guess there were some yekes, you know, among those Jews. And they probably, when Moshe told them on the 10th of Nisan, you know, you need to prepare, they probably already prepared. So this entire thing is a little bit of an issue. And also, that ki bechipazon yatzata mitzrayim, the Jews basically left Mitzrayim with chipazon, with haste, is also a bit of a difficult concept to understand, because when do you live in haste? When you are afraid. The Jews were not afraid. How do we know the Jews were not afraid? Biyad Rama. Yeah, everyone was fearful. Everyone was concerned about them. Not only that, the Egyptians basically told them, get out of here. So we will need to try to understand a little bit this chipazon, this idea of chipazon. What does it mean? And what can we learn from it? So,
then I also have time to take everybody's gold. And
right, that's also true. Yeah, you have time to pack, but you don't have time to make a sandwich, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and think about it, you know, all these Yiddish imams, you know, they're going on a trip, they don't have like a little sandwich with them. So it seems to be, this entire thing seems to be a little bit strange. So take a look.
And what do I have to do to eat? Eat b'chipazon, something that I don't do normally.
Alright, so we'll talk all about it. We'll try to present different ideas of the word chipazon and try to see how they fit to the different psukim and this obviously to the general idea of geula. So the Torah says in Shmot Perek Yudbet Yud Aleph, v'chacha tochlu oto, and this is the way you're going to eat it, motnechem chagurim, na'alechem beraglechem umakelchem b'yedechem, ואכלתם אותו בחיפזון פסח ולהשם. So you need to eat it, like ready to go. It's not like sitting around the table, but rather you are already what? Have your belts on, your shoes are on, and your staff, whatever the מקלחם, whatever the your car keys are already in your hands, and you should eat פסח בחיפזון. So if I just look at this verse, at this pasuk, the idea, it seems to be that what? That Hashem wanted to convey a message that this entire Yetziat Mitzrayim is what? Is with no time. You don't have time after that, okay, I'm going to get dressed. No, you need to do it like you are about to leave. And obviously the question is why? Why not take your time, enjoy freedom? You know, why to get out of there so quickly? In Dvarim, Perek Tetzayin, where we talk more about Pesach Dorot, you know, there is Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach that was in Mitzrayim itself. And there are some differences between that Pesach and the Pesach that we do for generations. So there it says, Lo tochal alav chametz, you cannot eat chametz. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem oni. So 7 days you will eat matzot, which are called lechem oni, which bread for the poor. Why? Ki bechipazon yatzata me'eretz Mitzrayim, l'man diskot yom tzedcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. So why do you need to not to eat chametz and to eat matzot lechem oni? Because you ate it bechipazon. So the chipazon here is an explanation for what? We are not in Mitzrayim anymore. Right? So why do we need to eat it? What's the ki bechipazon? Now the word ki is what? Is a reason, a cause. So why am I telling you not to have chametz? And why for 7 days you need to eat matzot lechem oni? Because you left Mitzrayim in haste and you need to remember that. Right?
It was creates the experience.
Do what?
You recreate the experience.
So the key is explaining what?
What it was like.
Look at the pasuk again. Lo tochal, first part of the pasuk. Lo tochal alav chametz. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem only. Stop. That's the commandment, which is you cannot have chametz, and for 7 days you need to eat matzot. It's called lechem only. Now we have a reason. Reason for what?
For eating matzot.
Mm-hmm. For eating matzot, and why it's called lechem only. Why matzot called lechem oni? Answer? Kipichipazon yetzata mimitzrayim. Why it's called lechem oni? Because a poor person doesn't have time to cook, to bake. He gets something, it's ready to eat, I'm eating it. Why? Because I have no idea what will happen the next day, right? So I need to fill up my belly as quickly as I can and move on. So now you immediately see that even in the narrative itself, you see that the word chipazon is mentioned in two different references, we do two different connotations. The first one, it seems to be that this is part of the eating, which means I want to create, God says, I want to create a feeling or an emotions of haste. You are ready to go. The minute that I'm telling you to go, you are out of there. You're not going to put things in the oven and say, hey, wait 1 second. You know, I need to wait, the cake, I need to check it. No, you are ready to go. That's in Pesach Mitzrayim. In Pesach Torot, it seems to be that we eat the matzot and they are called lechem oni in order to remind us that everything was in haste because we were aniim who already anticipate geula and we need to get out of there. Okay. Now, the word chipazon, I will ask like that. What's the root of the word chipazon?
So in the next source, Bereshit Perek Mem Teh, you put it in a different order.
Right.
Pei, chet, zayin.
But what will be the shorish?
But that's fast, I mean, it's not fast also. Right.
So, but if you take a step back, what's the root of the word chipazon? Chesh, chet, pei, zayin. Right? But what is chafaz? Do we know words like that? No. So, it might be the shorish, but it might be that the shorish is pachaz. You play with the letters. Pei, chet, zayin. So what does that mean? So take a look in Bereshit Perek Mem Teh. There, when Yaakov gave the blessings, or the criticism, to his children, he says to Reuben, Pachaz kamayim al totar, ki alita mishkevei avicha, az chilata yetzui ala. Which means, what is pachaz kamayim? So, before we look at Rashi or anything, there is a dimui, there is a metaphor here. So, one of the characteristics of water is what?
It flows.
They flow and they rush, right? So, pachaz kamayim, you acted like water, which means you rushed to do something. Which was what? By the way, what Yaakov criticized Reuben for?
Took his wife.
Whatever happened after Rachel passed away, right? So he maybe moved the mattresses, moved the beds, or maybe he himself slept with Bila. Whatever the issue was, okay? Basically, Yaakov says to him, he's not criticizing him so much about what? The action, but more about the root of the action, which is his nature. His nature is that he's impetuous. That's basically, I think, the English translation for Pachas Kamayim, you are impetuous. By the way,
what's impetuous mean?
Unstable,
too quick to react, not thinking. Now, by the way, we see that that character of being impetuous, where else with Reuven?
When he offers his sons. That Yaakov can kill his sons if he doesn't bring back Binyamin.
Okay, that's one place where Yaakov, when Reuven says to Yaakov, if you don't send Binyamin, we will not be able to take the food from Mitzrayim. You know what? I will guarantee him how. Kill my two children if I don't bring Binyamin back. Like, it's Yaakov's two grandchildren, he's not going to do it. Okay? And also, there is another place where he's very impetuous.
With Yosef.
When Yosef put so much pressure on them, he says to his siblings, what? I told you. Well, how is that going to help? You know, the people said, I told you. Yeah, I told you so. Nachon, you told me, but I didn't listen. So now, what do you want me to do? I can't go back in time. Now we need to deal with it. So maybe you feel good about it that I told you, but it's not going to help. So what is pachas kamayim? So says Rashi, pachas kamayim, mi garam lecha lehafsid, who caused you this loss? Now what kind of loss? Reuven lost everything. He lost his rights to firstborn. He was not the, he is the Bechor biologically, but in terms of rewards, he was not. He was supposed, according to the Midrash, to be a Kohen, that the Kehuna would come out from him, was given to Levi. The Bechorah was given to Reuven, to Yosef, and the Malchut was given to whom?
Yehuda.
So Reuven basically lost everything. So Rashi says, Mi garam lecha lehafsid? Who caused you to lose all of that? Pachaz kamayim. Hapachaz vehabehala. Hapachaz, let's call it being impetuous. Vehabehala. Behala is what?
Chaos.
It's like nivhal. It's balagan. All this behala.
No. What does behala mean?
Behala is like a chaos. Balagan.
Balagan means chaos?
Yeah.
Chaos means balagan.
Same thing, yeah.
And what language is balagan?
The what?
What language is the word balagan?
Hebrew.
How do you spell it?
Bet, Aleph, Lamed, Gimel, Nun.
It's one word?
Yep.
It means chaos? Bet?
Aleph, Lamed, Gimel, Nun.
Bet, Aleph,
Lamed, Gimel, Nun.
Does it come from a different language? But I never...
Asher miharta le'arot ka'ascha, kamayim alalu amemaharim nimrutzatam. So now take a look at what Rashi says. It was the pachas, the being impetuous, the habeala, the chaos, the uncertainty, asher miharta le'arot ka'ascha, that you were quick to show your anger. Kamayim halalu amemaharim beritzatam. Like this water, that they are basically rushing through, they don't care. Whatever, you know, whatever are in their way, they just take with them. Now this is an interesting thing, because take a look at what Rashi says. Asher mi'arta le'arot ka'ascha. You were quick to show your anger. Anger about what? The fact that after Rachel passed away, instead of me being with Leah, I put my tent with Bilha. It's interesting. I don't know if you paid attention to this Rashi ever in your life, but it's really interesting. Basically, according to Rashi, Yaakov is not that upset with what Reuven did. He was upset with him about what? That he was quick to share his anger, to show his anger, without trying to what? To clarify the matter. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if Reuven would come to Yaakov and say, look, I'm not going to interfere with your chaye ishut. Okay, I'm not going to interfere with your intimate relationship. It's not for me, I'm just the son. You know, there was one child who interfered with his father's marital or possibility to have kids, and he was not remembered for good. This guy is... Who is this person?
Noah?
You are very close. Not Noah, but his child. His name is Ham. In Canaan. He interfered in Noah's potential to have children, according to our Midrash. And his end was definitely not great, yet not stellar. That's true. So Reuven is interfering in something that it's really not his business. But I understand. As the son of the mother that always felt what? Left out, disenchanted,
second
fiddler. She called Reuven, Ki ra'a Hashem be'oni. Yeah, Hashem saw my suffering. So I fully understand. You know, Reuven was not, he was waiting to Rachel, for Rachel to die. But after she's gone, the obstacle is gone. So, my wife.
But how do you get the oni from Ben?
Re'u Ben. Re'u.
How do you get the...
that's the Gemara.
Okay.
The Gemara says that Leah says, Re'u ba ben bni leven chami. See the difference between my child and the child of my brother-in-law. Child of by brother-in-law?
Chami?
No, but that's... It's not exactly Chami. Chami is will be... Chami. Chami will be my father-in-law, but my father-in-law was Yitzchak, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Yitzchak will be the father-in-law. Mm. But why is it? Because with Yitzchak, he had Esav and Yaakov. the two brothers, and Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. Reuven wanted to save Yosef. That's the Gemara talks about what does it mean, like why it's called Reuven. Thank you. So basically what Reuven felt is that, you know what? Okay, Rachel was the beloved one and she gave the signs to my mother and all that. Okay, Pseda. Rachel is Ikar Abayit. Now Rachel is gone. Take a look at what Yaakov does. He goes to whom? To Bila. She's the maidservant. Yeah. I understand that she's Rachel's maidservant, and maybe she was more beautiful than Leah, and I don't know, whatever it was. Maybe she reminded him Rachel. All those beautiful things, but you know what? You are hurting my mom again. And this time, by the way, even more than the first time. The first time I can understand, you wanted to marry Rachel. My grandfather, Levan, tricked you. And you know what? And even Rachel cooperated with it. She gave the code, whatever it is. You know what? I understand why you didn't really like my mom so much. Because Rachel was there, she's your beloved wife. But now, after she's gone,
this is your chance.
It's not fair. You are hurting her even more because Rachel is not here. So basically, you are telling my mom that she is not even, definitely she's not the first, but she's not even what?
Second.
So I understand where he's coming from, says Rashi. But you are too quick to show your anger. One of the greatest things of leader is what? Is to be able to control your anger. Because probably the first reaction that comes from anger is the wrong reaction. Most of the times. Okay? And it's not because you are afraid or most of there are certain places that you need to be very quick to respond. There is no time to wait. For example, there's this beautiful story about Hushim ben Dan. You know the story? Hushim was deaf. And the Midrash says that when they came to bury Yaakov, Esav came along and says, no way, he's not in the cave. I'm going to be there. There's one place, I'm going to be there. And then, so they start, you know, negotiating and they're saying, no, Yaakov said, it's his, blah, blah, blah. And he says to them, okay, bring a document. Bring a document, a deed that shows that he has a place here, a plot here. So they send Naphtali. Why Naphtali? Naphtali, Ayala Shluchai is very fast, okay? Yeah. Hushim was deaf. And he didn't understand what's going on. He couldn't hear, so he had no idea what's flying. So he said, I don't understand something. My grandfather, Yaakov, you know, lies here. And this guy that I have no idea who he is, they say he's my uncle, you know, is not allowing the funeral to continue on. So what did he do? Cut off his head. And according to the Midrash, the head, you know, went into the cave, folded into the cave, and that's what really Rivka says, Lama Eshkal Shnechem Yom Echad. Basically, both of them died on the same day. Not that they died on the same day, they were buried on the same day. Okay, this is a beautiful Midrash, how do we understand it? It's a different issue, but one of the lessons of this Midrash is what? There are certain times when there is a disgrace in front of you, you don't ask questions. You just do, you react. Even though it might be that was the wrong reaction, but something must be done. I'll give you another example. Pinchas. When he sees what's going on between Zimri ben Salu and Kozbi Batsu, the halacha itself says, you don't go to the Beit Din and ask, oh, you know, what should I do? And then make a hakira. No. You go ahead, kanaim pogimbo. There is something that there is a disgrace, you need to stop it. But no, this is just exceptions. The rule is, You wait, let some of the anger go away, and then try, you know, cognitively make a proper decision. So basically that's what Rashi says instead of Reuven. So, but what is pachas? Mehirut. But mehirut, not haste, but not so much in a positive way, but rather in a negative way. And if that's true, if it's true, if I reflect it on chipazon, the chipazon there was not exactly what? Positive, it's more negative. Now, if you look at the Ralbag, Ralbag said something interesting. Ralbag, who was a Rishon in the 14th century, very, very important one, very creative, and he says the following. He says, Pachas kamayim al totar, Pachas hu me'inyan mehirut. Okay, the idea of Pachas is mehirut, haste. וכמוהו And something very similar to that is the word pochazim. Ki hem nimharei lev, because there are people who don't really think too much. Velazeim shilo lemaim shigaru b'meirut. So now he's bringing the pochazim. What are the pochazim? So this is interesting. With Gideon, and even with David, there are certain people that are called that he gathered anashim pochazim. What is anashim pochazim? What is anashim pochazim? People who basically you tell them, hey, there is a battle that I'm going to fight. Are you coming? Sure! They don't ask for a strategic military plan. They don't ask what's going to be the reward. They're not going to ask what's the risk. They are just what? They're jumping. Why not? That's called anashim pochazim. It's not so much about being stupid, because sometimes we want to say, it's just people who care less.
Run to action.
They run to action. They don't, you know, make all these calculations. They are definitely not deliberate in judgment. V'hem nimharei lev. But you know what? Sometimes you need them. You need those people. Especially where? In the front line. Okay? You let them go first, and then you see what's happened. Right? So that's called anashim pochazim. So with this Ralbag, now this entire picture of bechipazon makes almost what? No sense. The Jews are eating the matzot bechipazon. What, to show that they are, like, ready to go, whatever it is? Now, before I continue, before I suggest something, take a look also at Yeshaya. It's called Mayim Nigarim. Mayim Nigarim means flow, they go down quickly.
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls, I don't know, maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Niagara.
The what?
The Niagara.
In Yeshayahu Perek Nun Bet Pasuk Yud Bet, it says, "Ki lo bechipazon tetzeu, uvemenusa lo telechun, ki olech lifnechem Hashem, umeasifchem Elokei Yisrael." In Yeshayahu, we have a description that totally contradicts everything we said before. We described Yetziat Mitzrayim bechipazon. You know what? Maybe they were anxious to go. But the ultimate redemption that Yeshaya describes is what? Is exactly the opposite. Ki lo bechipazon tetzeu. You're not going to live in haste. Uvemenusa lo telechon. What is menusa? Fleeing. You're not going to flee. Ki olech lifnechem Hashem. Because Hashem is going in front of you. Umeasifchem Elokei Yisrael is going to be in front of you. And is going to be behind you. Which, by the way, is very similar to what? To the Amud Anan and Amud Esh. So basically, it says that in the ultimate redemption, the character of the redemption will be exactly the opposite from Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim was all about haste, and the ultimate Geula will be Leat Leat, Benichuta. So I don't understand. So what is, I mean, I do, but I need for the drama. I don't understand what. How can we reconcile, really, A, the contradiction between the first Geula and the ultimate Geula, and B, what was the purpose of doing everything in such a fast way, in haste? Okay. So now, take a look again in Shmot, Perek Yud-Bet Yud-Al. So we brought that Pasuk, so let's see it again. V'chacha tochlu oto, and this is the way you're going to eat Korban Pesach. Motnechem chagurim, you have your belts on, נעליכם ברגליכם, you will have your shoes on, ומקליכם בידיכם, and you will have your staff in your hand, ואכלתם אותו בחיפזון, and you should eat פסח בחיפזון, פסח הוא להשם. So now, take a look at the מחילתא. מחילתא זה רבי שמעון בן יוחאי, מחילתא is מדרש תנאים, which means it was composed in ארץ ישראל, probably second century, רבי שמעון בן יוחאי is a student of רבי עקיבא, and he obviously incorporate many of his thoughts in this midrash tanai. So he says that v'chacha tochlu oto v'achaltem oto b'chipazon b'beilut yotzei drachim. What is beilut yotzei drachim? What is yotzei drachim? People who are what?
Off the derech.
Who are off to the derech, not off the derech, off to the derech, right? So basically, it's like, you need to go. We need to go. What do you see when there is announcement at the airport, we are boarding now.
Everybody.
What do you see? Those from section 5 that have, you know, seat number 42 next to the bathroom, they are standing next to the business class. Like they think they are going to go in, right? So they are like with their bags, they are like, yeah. Or if they say, you know, only people that need assisted and not, oh yeah, my back hurts and no, I need to go on the plane. Why? Because you are Bebeala, you want to make sure that your carry-on has a place. Right? We all know it. So we can make fun of it, but that's exactly what is Behilut Yotzei Drachim. There is a sense of anxiety of people that when they are going on the way, they are anxious. Okay. Ein li ela achilato shei bechipazon. So from the pasuk, I can infer that the chipazon relates only to what? To the eating. Like you need to eat it quickly. Minayin lerabot kibul damo vezrikat damo. How do I know that everything needs to be in haste? Even throwing the blood, sprinkling the blood and accepting the blood. Talmud lomar kacha. Meaning everything that relates to Korban Pesach must be what? Bechipazon, in haste. Kacha, yachol she'ani marbe tzliyato והדחת קרביו, תלמוד לומר ככה, ככה אותו בחיפזון, ואין פסח דורות בחיפזון. So the Michilta says, the idea of haste was only limited to what? To Korban Pesach Mitzrayim. Meaning the first Pesach that they did in Mitzrayim, but not Pesach דורות, but not the Pesach for generations. דבר אחר, אותו בחיפזון, ואין מצות ומרורים בחיפזון. Now we have here two teachings that we need to understand. So first and foremost, this Midrash Tanaim, so we are talking about the second century, basically says that the chipazon was only limited to what? To Pesach Mitzrayim. But it's not only for the eating the korban, but everything around it as well. Kabbalat Adam, receiving the blood and sprinkling the blood on the mashkofim. Everything had to be in haste. Doesn't tell you the answer, the reason for that yet, but in a minute. But Pesach Dorot, Pesach that comes for generations, take your time. It doesn't need to be in haste. So, one option will be, seize the moment. You are allowed to go, don't look back, get out of there. Okay, very good. That's one. Second might be, more of a mystical one, that might be a reason for they were so immersed in Memtet Sharei Tumah, the 49 gates of impurity. One more minute sometimes can change not the Egyptian's mind, your mind, your, the Jewish people's mind. Don't forget, according to the Midrash, the majority, 80% of Jews didn't want to go. Okay, only 20% left. Now, by the way, if that's true, and all these 80% died in the 3 days of darkness, which according to the Midrash, that's exactly what happened, so it's more people who were killed in the Shoah. Make the calculation. Because if you're talking about 600,000 men, 20 and up, left Egypt, you make the calculation that 20 and under, and then add women, so you will get to 2 or 3 million people, which is 20%, which means the other 80% was another 8 to 9 million. Okay, so that's an incredible number. So that's why, you know, it's a little hard to understand or to comprehend this Midrash, but it means that, I don't know, 70 people, after 210 years or after 400 years, from 70, they got to what, to 11 million people?
Amazing.
I don't know, so there is this Midrash that every woman gave, not twice, not twins, not triplets, not fourlets, I don't know, whatever, called six kids. Okay, but how frequent? And also, many of them were thrown into the river. So, in one year, but whatever. So, I don't know how you make the calculation. Someone needs to be a mathematician to make the calculation. But basically, what we have is what? Is we have that only Pesach... So, the second idea is perhaps the impurity part. But there is maybe a third reason why Pesach Mitzrayim was in haste. And Pesach Dorot is not. What the Mechilta says, Bebehilut Yotzei Drachim. The idea of getting out of Mitzrayim had to show that we are anxious to what? To get out of there. If you don't feel anxious to get out of there, what do you show? That you are just being forced to go. That you know what, maybe someone promised you something else better. But basically the achilat ha-pesach, the eating of the Pesach in haste, and doing everything like you are at the, literally, at the door, is that you are waiting for Hashem to just what? Open the door, and you are what? And you are out. You don't look back.
Right.
That reminds us what?
Lot.
Yeah, part of the idea of not looking at your enemy's destruction in it is basically that you created like almost like a get kritut, like you totally disconnected from that place. You have nothing to do with them. You don't care if your enemies are being destroyed. You don't care if your people that were maybe your friends are. You have nothing to do with that place, and that was imperative for that generation. The generations later is exactly the opposite. We need to renew, to rejuvenate, to whatever, to recreate the atmosphere of Mitzrayim, of Pesach. And what do you need? You need to have time for that. You can't do it in haste because you are not there. So the idea is, at least according to what it seems to be, according to this Midrash Tanaim, is what? Is that only Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim had to have this idea of haste. Pesach Dorot is not. That's according to one explanation. Second explanation is, דבר אחר, אותו בחיפזון, כן, it says, ככה תאכלו אותו. What is אותו? אותו קורבן פסח, but not מצות ומרורים. So it means what? That the מצות ומרורים, you should eat, not in haste, you should eat it slowly. Why? So, I don't know if there is a physician in the room, I don't think you want to eat maror and מצה too quickly, you can choke. But it's much more than just health health issues. Mm-hmm. It's to have a taste. You need to create a taste. The taste of what? Of matzah, which was lechem only, and the maror de lechem only, so it will remain on your tongue, and then you can live and have this what? This stam of what you had in Mitzrayim with you for generations to come. Mm-hmm. So that's according to the Mechilta. In Midrash Sechel Tov, which is much, much later, so now Midrash Sechel Tov, which is a later Midrash, says like that. That's page 2. V'achaltem oto b'chipazon, and you should eat it in haste. Abba Hanan omer mishum Rabbi Eliezer, ze chipazon shchina, shaya ruach elokim chayim, memaher la'avor be'eretz Mitzrayim b'chatzot halayla, ulefichach, מזהירים לאוכלו בחיפזון. ואף על פי שאין ראייה לדבר, זכר לדבר שנאמר, כל דודי הנה זה בא, וכתיב הנה זה עומד אחר כותלנו. So now it's going to be a fascinating midrash. He says, בחיפזון, ואכלתם אותו בחיפזון. So the first understanding will be בחיפזון, that you need to eat it in haste, quickly. אבא חנן says now, it's not because of you, it's because Hashem is here. Hashem is passing through Mitzrayim. Hashem is all about what? Kedusha. Mitzrayim is all about what?
Tum'ah.
This mixture cannot stay for too long. So Hashem is basically saying, do it b'chipazon for me. I can't stay here too long. So in a way, we are doing it for Hashem. Now, this is more than strange. Hashem is being affected by impurity. But, and if it will take me 25 minutes to eat instead of 18 minutes, what, Hashem, God forbid, is going to go to the dark side? Okay, so you want to create, Susie, want you to create some kind of a correlation between Hashem and us, meaning Hashem is there for, it's like a...
We take on the kedusha.
Yeah, so it created, you know, like in all those movies that you create like a shield, and then there is this attack on that shield, and the shield can carry on only for like 18 minutes, and after that they break the shield. So Hashem says, okay, I'm making this shield, you created this mitzvot of Brit Milah, blood on the doorpost and everything, and you are eating this, but you know what, I can't carry on too much, you know, we need to get out of here. This is wonderful, the problem is, I think Hashem can last as long as he wants, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, Hashem can, but not
but
the people.
That goes for everything.
Very good, but not the people. So that might be one idea. By the way, he brings, afal pi she'en re'ayan adavar, meaning they are well aware that you cannot prove that, but you can have zecher adavar. The pasuk says what? Ine omed achar kotlenu, mashgiach min achalonot metzitz min acharakim, and this door, this beloved who knocks on the door, you know, from Shir HaShirim, he flies quickly. He goes quickly. He can't really stay with impurity. Why? Because he can't stand it. So the chipazon is in order to allow Hashem to appear in Mitzrayim in the shortest time that we can do it. So that's the one idea. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting midrash. Second, v'chipazon de Yisrael. The second understanding of chipazon is not chipazon shechina. It's not because Hashem doesn't want to be there, but from the Jewish people's perspective. Haynu dichtiv ulechol bnei Yisrael lo yecheratz kelev leshono, kede shelo yitakvu mechamat haklavim, shayu Yisrael nechpazim lacet vayu ratzim venechpazim mibayit lebayit lekabetz nechsehon. So the second interpretation is what? Chipazon of the Jews. The dogs, you know, we held the dogs from not barking and not creating too much of an issue. So we changed the nature. We don't want to change the nature for too long. And the Jews had few things to do. What did they have to do? Collect their gold and silver and all those vessels from all the Egyptians, pack up and go. So that was the chipazon. And then there is a third interpretation. And the third interpretation is chipazon de Mitzrayim. It's because of the Egyptians. היינו דכתיב ותחזק מצרים על העם למהר לשלחם ואין חיפזון אלא לשון בעלה ודומנו נחפז ללכת בחובזה לנוס בחובזם וכל דומהן. So says the Midrash, it was because of the Egyptians. The Egyptians basically put us through that and they told us, hey Jews, not Jews, Jews was not, hey Bnei Israel, get out of here. We don't want to see you. So the Jews in a way were pushed. If you think about these three options, so what do we have? Chipazon Shechina, meaning we need to take into consideration Hashem's perspective. Chipazon de Israel, because they had few things to do, and they were pressed by the dogs. And the third one is because the Egyptians pushed them. When you look at those three options, what is the point of dispute between these three options? Because that's the question that we really need to ask. Besides the fact, how do we understand each option? But what is the point of dispute? What do you think? Take your time, huh? Don't do it in haste, I need to drink.
I would suggest, what is the value of chipazon?
So, first and foremost, it seems to be that the Midrash, and I agree, the common denominator of all these opinions is that chipazon is definitely not just because we don't have time. We don't have time. Why? What do we want to accomplish by doing something quickly? Especially when we know that, you know, you should be deliberate in judgment and we don't exactly encourage haste. So what's the purpose? Very good. So those are the three options. What's the point of dispute? So I would like to suggest, especially according to the third option, that says that it was because of the Egyptians. It means what? We wanted to take our time, right? We wanted to enjoy freedom on the land of Egypt, in the land of Egypt. But were we free to do it? The Egyptians, in a way, still had some kind of authority over us. They told us again, even, how to get out. Until now, they told us what to do, and they continue to tell us what to do. We were not fully free. The third option is the least, in terms of favorites, okay, to the Jewish people. Meaning when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, they were still somewhat vulnerable to the Egyptian pressure as the masters. Meaning when they saw Ahmed or Muhammad, the Egyptian, tells them, get out of here, what do you think the Ben Israel will tell him? I'm out of here. instead of telling him, you're not going to tell me when to get out of here, I'm the balabait here, I'll tell you when I'm going to get out of here. And if you're the second child of your in your house or another firstborn dies, not my issue. They didn't. By the way, you see that feeling of not still not being free, you see it later on where? In the desert. We all know that.
It's the mentality.
The mentality of a slave. This is how thing to get out of your system. And that, by the way, it's not judgment at all. That's human nature. It's very hard after 400 years or 10, 2, 2, 2, 10, 4, 10, whatever it is. I don't care about how many years. For generations to be a slave, it's very hard. It's very hard to get out of this, to get it out of your system. So,
but did they feel more free once they crossed the Yam Suf and they were? Then they didn't see the Egyptians weren't the pressure anymore.
Okay, so I think so. I think one of the Mefarshim, I don't know if that was the Sforno or Ramban, it says and that after the splitting of the sea that they saw the Egyptians dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the question, why do we need this miracle of Yam Suf? Hashem could basically leave Paro in Mitzrayim and they will not chase after the Jewish people. Why do we need it? And the reason he gives is that they had to see their masters dead. That's, by the way, a very known thing with abusive relationship. That the abused cannot really go free unless his abuser is gone in whatever way. Prison, dead, whatever it is. It cannot... Go ahead.
I think Art Song was saying that the 20% that were left after, right? The Hoshea was still at risk.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. There were the 20.
And it wasn't over
until it was until it's over. Right. The 80% did not even were able to bring themselves to the uncertainty that maybe there is a hope here. Maybe there is a chance. The 20% at least brought themselves to what? To, you know what? Let's give it a try. But when your master is angry with you, and you remember what. You know, what he did to you in previous years, it's paralyzing. So this is the third option in the Midrash. The first option in the Midrash does not talk about it at all. The first option in the Midrash talks about Chipazon de Shechina. Hashem says to the Jewish people, you know, do me a favor, do it as quickly as you can, I want to get out of here, and you want to get out of here. The second one is the Jews wanted to take their time, but you know, Hashem changed the nature for them. He told the dogs not to bark, and so, you know, you need to move quickly, as quickly as you can. The third option had nothing to do with it. It basically says that the Israelites, whatever, were still under the influence, really, of what? Of the Egyptians. Now, take a look at the Ketav in Kabbalah. This is from the 18th century. Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Miklenburg. He says, "Bechipazon lehorot al habitachon lo halifti hela bilti mesupak ba'el itbarach." This is a beautiful, beautiful commentary that you can expand in Leda Seder, really. The Ketav and the Kabbalah followed suit with what? With the third option in the Midrash. The Jewish people were basically still in prison. Think about it. They were not out yet. Mm-hmm. Hashem told them, at midnight I'm going to take you out and you need to do all those things. You need to create Korban Pesach. And what if Moshe is not saying the truth? So we're going to do this Pesach here. We're going to slaughter their gods and we're going to open the door and instead of big light waiting for us and saying, follow me, we have Egyptians with swords stabbing us. Like, who gave you the guarantee that it will happen? So I want to say something, and I'm going to probably burst some bubbles here, and I don't like doing it.
They were treated so badly.
They were not treated so badly. How do I know?
They had food. They had good food.
They say more than once.
They want to go back.
We want to go back.
It's better than.
If it was so terrible, why would you like to go back?
Right.
Do you hear any, you know, any people who went into a tremendous trauma, I want to go there.
So there you have the Kippah Zone, because Hashem wanted to make sure that they wouldn't want to stay.
Yeah, it's like the you go back to the abuser.
But there, by the way, I will just say one thing. One of the major fears that the Egyptians had was what? That the Israelites will take over Egypt. Not that they will get out of Egypt. That because there are so many, they will take over Egypt. Don't forget, Egypt at that time was America. Whatever, it was the golden Medina. Empire, wealth, Nile, water, everything was great. It was the envy, probably, of those ages. So basically, the Ketav and the Kabbalah says, why did they eat it b'chipazon? Lehorot al habitachon, to show their trust in Hashem, that there was no doubt in their mind that they are getting out b'yotam mechinim atzmam laderech, they are preparing themselves to the derech, while they are in, where? In prison, in Mitzrayim. And this is, by the way, maybe I'll give it Rasha on it, Bezrat Hashem, on Pesach, the level of emunah that the Jewish people had, and what can we learn about from it.
Are you saying that it was like the Titanic and they just didn't want to leave, or are you saying that it wasn't like the Titanic, that they might have had a good life? Like when the people were rescued at the Titanic, a lot of them said, "No, I'll stay on the ship."
Okay.
But they went down with the ship.
Right.
Are you saying it was like that, or are you saying that they had a good life in Mitzrayim?
I don't know if they had a good life.
A livable life.
A livable life, and they say, you know, it's much more livable than the desert, unless you have miracles.
So you're not talking about a Titanic scenario.
No.
That's what
no.
I'm asking.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be habilti?
Yeah, I said habilti, not halivti, habilti.
Habilti, okay.
Yeah.
What's the habilti mesupak?
Habilti mesupak, no doubts.
But biyotam mechinim atzman?
When they prepare themselves to their journey while in prison.
What's meant as no doubt?
That they believed in Hashem, in His promise that He will take them out, even though no sign of Geula yet to come. I mean, it's all promises in the air. They are not out yet, and they are willing to act like they are out while they are still in. That's basically what it is. So now, let's take a look at Megdavar, the Natsiv, one century later, so 19th century, and he says, Seifa Degra Pesach Hu LaHashem, Sheze Ta'am Al Mitzvah Zu. This is the reason for this commandment. Shebishvil Ota, Shebishvil Shbeoto Et, Haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Poseach Umedaleg Al HaPtachim, משום הכי המצווה לאכול כמו העומד על הדרך וממהר ומדלג. The Natsiv basically choose the first option in the Midrash, it's for Hashem. Like Hashem was skipping because he just couldn't stand being there, we also need to quote unquote participate to emulate Hashem, and we also need to eat fast. How do you eat fast on the way? Already your shoes are on, your belts are tight, and you are eating something what we call finger food. Okay, you don't going to have something with that. You need to have a fork and a knife.
No meatballs.
Matzah is a good thing, especially if that was the ancient matzah, which is more like a lafa rather than cracker. Okay,
to swart in half.
So if it's not all that, but if it's a more of a ave, a matzah ava, more of a thick matzah, so you understand. Okay, you take a shawarma, you put it in the bag. I'm not sure if you want to put it in the bag, but you know, you go out. Okay, so it's to emulate Hashem, basically to identify yourself with Hashem, and that's the way you go on your journey. So let's see two more things.
So what's the Emet Dover saying?
The what?
What's the Emet Dover?
The Natsiv basically says that the idea of Bechipazon is to basically to emulate Hashem, like Hashem did it Bechipazon, he was medaleg, he was skipping, he was running, so to speak. We do the same. How do we do it? By eating quickly and by being ready to go on the journey. Okay, so now in Dvarim, לא תאכל עליו חמץ, שבעת ימים תאכל עליו מצות לחם עוני, כי בחיפזון יצאת ממצרים, למען תזכור את יום צאתך מארץ מצרים כל ימי חייך. So that's the pasuk that we mentioned before. Says Rashi, כי בחיפזון יצאת, ולא הספיק בצק להחמיץ, the dough did not have time to rise, וזה יהיה לך לזיכרון. וחיפזון לא שלך היה, אלא של מצרים, שנאמר, שכן הוא אומר, ותחזק מצרים על העם. Rashi holds like what? Like that option in the Midrash. It might be, by the way, that the Midrash took it from Rashi, because this Midrash is very late, Midrash Sechel Tov. But basically, it says what? It was not your chipazon. It's the chipazon of Mitzrayim. By the way, if that's true, one of our questions from Yeshaya, why the ultimate redemption there is no chipazon? Why there is no chipazon? Because there is no Mitzrayim. No one is pushing you. And by the way, that makes the ultimate redemption even greater. You are being redeemed even though it's pretty good where you are.
Well, so why did they want them out so badly?
The what?
Why did they want the Jews to leave?
Why the Egyptians wanted?
So badly, yes. Why?
Because of the plague of the firstborn.
Makat Bechorot, yes. That was it, right?
That was it. That was just, they are, even after the seventh Makat, they already, they told Paro, just get them out of here, they are destroying Egypt. Okay? So, now, by the way, the people who are telling him are not the farmers. He cared less about them. We're talking about his parliament, his the nobles. They already start feeling the pain. So, they came to Paro and they tried to convince him, and he really calls Moshe and Aaron, and they have a little negotiation. But in the ultimate Geula, so I don't know how to say that. If I want to implement it to modern times, it's, you know, Aliyah, because you are being pushed, or Aliyah, because you realize that it's not your place. The ultimate redemption will be the second one. I'm not being pushed, but I'm doing it because I know where I want to go. In Mitzrayim, there was some kind of a combination of get out of here, meaning they are pushing us out, and not too much about where to go, because when you told the Jews that I'm going to bring you to the land of field and milk and honey, you can bring them to Uganda. They have no idea what is Eretz Yisrael. I'm not even sure that they heard it. They had traditions from their ancestors, but with all due respect, even Yaakov, meaning they're the head of the tribes. They were born where? In Aram Naharaim. They came to Israel for, I don't know, maybe 20-something years, and then they went to what? To Mitzrayim. Most of their lives were already what? In Mitzrayim. So, what? How many of the tribes saw their grandfather Yitzchak? Not too many. They definitely didn't see Avram. So, it's all, I mean, there are no selfies. Like, you know, here there is a picture of Eretz Yisrael, look how beautiful it is.
Eretz Yisrael was not even, it had to be conquered. It was not Bat Chalav Udvash.
At the beginning? Not exactly, no. You had to walk a little bit to see the milk and the honey.
That's right.
I was going to say it's like the nostalgia for the shtetl. Thinking about how great it was. Well, they couldn't wait to get out of there.
Right. So the thing is, again, no, it's I think what Rashi is really basically saying, and that was the third option in the Midrash, was basically, if you ask the Jews, you know, they will take their time. They maybe stay another weekend, you know. Maybe it will be good for us, you know, Pesach will be a week later. But the Egyptians pushed them and they basically submitted themselves to the will of the Egyptians. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor,
I think the Gerar Rebbe also takes that position that you have to feel it's not your place.
All right, so. Well, I think we will discuss it maybe next week, a little bit later.
The Gerar Rebbe?
Maybe the Sfat Emet, I think we'll bring the Sfat Emet. So Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, who was in the 12th century, he was really a colleague of Rabbeinu Tam, one of his students, Rabbi Yosef Yom Tov Elem, or Rabbi Yosef Meolanish, I think, but they called him Bechor Shor. Why did they call him Bechor Shor? Because of Yosef. Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo. That was a very well-known phenomenon in the Middle Ages, that you give him a nickname based on his Hebrew name, Yosef, the whole show. For example, who was that? Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon, I think. Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon was called Gur Aryeh, because Yehuda Gur Aryeh. Rabbi Shimshon Mishans was called Shimshon HaGibor. Biblical name, and then the nickname. And sometimes they were called by their cities, Sirleon. We see tshuvot between Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor and Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam gives him some respect. Ki bechipazon yatzata, בחיפזון מצרים, שהוקו ונחפזו. You see what Rabbi Yosef Bechosho says? I don't know where he got it from. It might be a right interpretation. When the Egyptians start yelling at them, get out of here, get out of here, what do you think the Egyptians did also?
Hit them.
Mm. So when you are being beaten up, you want to get out. ובחיפזון, so בחיפזון יצאת, בחיפזון של מצרים, ובחיפזון ישראל שנחפזו לצאת, ולא הספיק בצקם להחמיץ, כי דכתיבה תחזק מצרים על העם למהר לשלחם, למען תזכור את יום צאתך מארץ מצרים ותשתעבד למקום בכל לב. According to Rabbi Yosef Bechosho, I'm going to conclude, I might describe to you an interesting reality. On the 10th of Nisan, Hashem told Moshe, tell the Jewish people, they need to get ready, they need to prepare, they need to have matzot and everything. The Jew says, matzot? They didn't know why. But they said, okay, there is time, we don't need to do it now. Or maybe we'll do now matzot, but you know, at the night that we will get out of here, we will create cakes and bagels and whatever it is. The idea of getting out quickly was Hashem's idea. He knew that the Jewish people will not do it. Why? It's hard. It's hard to pick up everything in, you know, quickly and get out of there. And you know what? Maybe some of them even have some Egyptian friends that they wanted to say goodbye to. Who pushed them out? The Egyptians. They beat them up. Get out of here. Meaning, in a way, they had to hear, you don't belong here.
Mm-hmm. What about the ones who stayed?
So according to the Midrash, again, they died in 3 days of darkness.
Ah.
Yeah. So they are not there anymore. But it seems to be that psychologically, they had to hear, we don't want you here anymore. And that pushed them to get out.